Okay, so we're diving deep today into some really interesting stuff. You brought some fascinating material about a Louisiana case, Chauvin v. Bowen. Looks like we're going to untangle real estate contracts, how they're formed and what actually makes them legally solid. We've got the Louisiana Supreme Court's decision. It's from 1982. We've got the background facts, the procedural history, how it went through the courts, the core legal issues, and we've even got the majority and dissenting opinions, plus a standard case brief and a perplexity analysis. Whew, it's like a deep dive into how strict those rules are when you're selling property, right?
Absolutely. It really highlights how even seemingly simple transactions can become complex legal battles.
Exactly. So our mission today is to find out why weren't a handshake and a deposit check enough to close a real estate deal in Louisiana? And what does that tell us about contract law in general? Here's where it gets really interesting.
Yeah, the case really demonstrates how a situation that seems pretty straightforward on its face, agreeing on a price for a house, putting down a deposit, well, that can become a legal headache depending on the specific laws of the state. And Chauvin v. Bowen is a perfect example of Louisiana's unique approach to these agreements.
So let's set the scene. Summer of 1976, John Kent Chauvin is selling his house. C. Robert Bond comes to view it. They agree verbally on a price of $80,000. And Bond even writes a check for $4,000. He marks it deposit on property at $80,000. Seems pretty straightforward, right?
It does, doesn't it? Seems like a classic real estate deal in the making.
Exactly. But then Bond changes his mind, and the central point of contention that ends up going all the way to the Supreme Court, it's all about the timing. Did Chauvin deposit that check before or after Bond backed out and said, nope, not happening? That timing is critical because, generally speaking, you can usually revoke an offer before it's been accepted.
You're absolutely right. That acceptance is typically what makes an agreement binding. So if Chauvin accepted Bond's offer, and depositing the check might be seen as acceptance in many places, if that happened before Bond said he was withdrawing, you'd probably have a valid contract. However, Louisiana law is very specific when it comes to real estate contracts. That's what makes this case so illustrative.
That's the twist, right? Louisiana Civil Code has very specific rules about real estate contracts. We're talking Articles 2440 and 2462, which essentially say that any agreement to sell land or buildings, what they call immovable property, has to be in writing, and that written agreement has to have three main things: what's being sold, the price, and consent from both the buyer and seller. And then there's the parole evidence rule.
Right, the parole evidence rule. Basically, it says that once you've got a written contract, you can't usually use prior spoken agreements to change or add to what's in the written document. It really emphasizes that the written contract should be the complete agreement. And if you zoom out a little, this is tied to the fact that Louisiana has a civil law system. This is a legal tradition that goes back to Roman law and prioritizes legal codes created by legislatures. It's different from common law systems like in many other U.S. states and the U.K., where legal principles are developed over time through judges' decisions. So those articles in Louisiana's civil code are really key to understanding why just a verbal agreement and a check weren't enough in this case.
So this $4,000 check, it makes its way through the lower courts. Both the trial court and the court of appeal actually sided with Chauvin, the seller. They saw the check as a kind of earnest money, money you forfeit if you back out of the deal. But then the Louisiana Supreme Court, they had a different perspective. The big question they wrestled with was whether that note Bowen wrote on the check, along with Chauvin depositing it, did that actually fulfill the legal requirement for written consent to the sale?
It's fascinating, isn't it? The lower courts seem to have taken a more practical approach, almost like, well, it makes sense he offered the check, the seller took it and deposited it. But the Supreme Court zeroed in on the precise form that consent had to take under Louisiana law.
And the majority on the Supreme Court, they said no, it didn't meet that requirement. Their reasoning was that, sure, the note on the check shows what Bond was offering, the property and the $80,000 price, but it doesn't include anything from Chauvin in writing, explicitly agreeing to sell it on those terms. They saw depositing the check as an action, not written consent. They really hammered home that the agreement of both parties needs to be clear within the written agreement itself. The court even said, and this is a famous quote, "It's the writing and the words that matter, not what people do afterward." They wouldn't use what they call extrinsic evidence, meaning evidence outside the written agreement, like Chauvin depositing the check, to fill in what they saw as missing pieces.
The court sticking to a strict interpretation of the writing requirement is really interesting. They weren't persuaded that Bowen's written offer on the check, plus Chauvin's action of depositing it, that those things combined were enough to satisfy the mutual written consent that Louisiana's civil code demands. and this emphasis on the written word, it reflects a fundamental aim in Louisiana real estate law to create clarity, to avoid disputes that could rely on, you know, unreliable memories or interpretations of actions. Everything has to be crystal clear in writing.
But here's where it gets even more interesting. Not everyone on the Supreme Court agreed. Justice Marcus dissented. He argued that Chauvin endorsing and depositing the check, that was written acceptance. He felt that the check itself, with Bohn's offer on it, plus Chauvin's actions, they created a binding contract. And Justice Lemon agreed. He pointed out that the check had all the key elements, the property, the price, Bohn's intention to buy. He felt that Chauvin taking the check and depositing it logically showed he agreed to sell on those terms. So you've got this split. The majority sticking to a very formal interpretation of the law, and the dissenters arguing for a more common sense approach. You do have to wonder, why else would Chauvin deposit the check if he didn't plan to agree to the sale?
The dissenters raise a really good point about the practical realities of the situation. They're essentially saying that Chauvin's actions showed his agreement to the terms Bohn laid out in writing on the check. It suggests a willingness to consider the context, you know, the reasonable inferences from what both parties did. But the majority's decision underscores that core principle in Louisiana real estate law. Implied consent based on actions isn't enough. You need explicit written consent from both sides, as laid out in the civil code.
So what's the takeaway for our listeners? Louisiana puts a high value on crystal clear written agreements in real estate. Even if you have a solid verbal agreement and someone puts money down, like Bohn did, it might not be enough legally if you don't have a written contract. That contract needs to clearly spell out all the terms, the property, the price, the agreement of both buyer and seller, all in writing. This is different from some other states where courts might be more willing to enforce oral contracts, particularly if there's been some action taken, what we call partial performance. But Louisiana's civil law tradition, it leads to the stricter requirement for written contracts. This case really highlights why formal written contracts are so important in Louisiana property deals. Like the Supreme Court said, no contract exists unless the writing speaks for itself. It's a strict rule, maybe, but it leaves very little room for doubt.
Precisely. Chauvin v. Bohn is a stark reminder of how important it is to dot your I's and cross your T's to follow the specific formalities that Louisiana law requires for real estate transactions. Even if your intentions seem obvious and your actions support a certain understanding, they might not be enough legally if they don't meet that requirement of a written document that clearly states the property, the price, and the agreement of both parties. For anyone involved in real estate in Louisiana or even just studying contract law, this case offers a valuable lesson in how important it is to follow those legal formalities.
So next time you're dealing with real estate in Louisiana, remember the lesson of Chauvin v. Bohn. Get everything in writing, the exact property, the agreed price, the clear agreement of both sides. In Louisiana, that handshake and deposit check might be just the beginning, not the end, of making a deal legally binding. It really makes you think how many other transactions that seem straightforward might have hidden legal wrinkles. That's definitely something to keep in mind as you explore the world of law.
It certainly is. And it pushes us to consider the role of legal formalism more broadly, you know, balancing the need for clear, predictable rules with the possibility that sometimes the outcome might seem unfair or go against what the parties clearly intended in a less formal setting. Chauvin v. Bohn is a really thought-provoking case that highlights that nuanced approach to contract law in a civil law jurisdiction like Louisiana.
Well, on that note, it's time for us to wrap up. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. It's been a pleasure exploring this case with you.
The pleasure was all mine.
Until next time.
See you then.